without guidance. Without nabuwat and without imamat, the notion of qiyamat can cancel out. And if there is going to be no judgment, then there is no need for a just, and there is no need for an Allah. Then without nabuwat and without imamat, the notion, the usul of qiyamat, the usul of adl, and the usul of tawheed can be crossed out. So without nabuwat, without imamat, we can see here that the rest of the usul ad-deen fall through. This is the importance of prophethood and imamat. So Allah did not send us here without any guidance. And how does He guide us? Does He talk to us directly? Is there anyone here who can claim that Allah talks to him directly? No. Does Allah write you a letter? Or maybe I should move with the times. Does Allah send you text messages? Does Allah write on your Facebook wall? Does He tweet updates every half an hour? Does He create how-to videos and post them on YouTube? No. How does Allah guide us? Through hadiths, through guides, through sending prophets and imams. So now, I guess on a very basic level, just very quickly, this is the theory or the philosophy of prophethood and leadership and imamat, and vicegerency. So now that we have established that prophethood and imamat is compulsory upon Allah, it is wajib upon Allah, it is incumbent upon Him. If He has created us, then it is wajib upon Him to send us a guide, to send us guidance, send us direction, tell us our purpose in life, and show us how to reach that purpose in life. So once we have established that prophethood and imamat are compulsory upon Allah, He has created this system, He has sent guidance in the form of prophets and imams and messengers, we then need to establish what kind of imams are they? What kind of prophets are they? What kind of messengers are they? What kind of guides, what kind of hadiths are they? For example, if there is any potential, any opportunity, any chance of them making a mistake, of them committing a sin, of them doing a guna, if there is any flaw in them, if they are not perfect, if they can make mistakes, then what will happen? Their followers, yeah, the society, the ummah, you and I can make mistakes as well. Think of it logically. If the leader makes mistakes, if the leader does something wrong or does something bad, if the leader does gunah, does sins, then how can you expect the followers to reach kamal, to reach excellence? Right? Let me give you another example. Maybe in Australia we don't see this often, but in our own countries, in Pakistan, Afghanistan, India, and even in the Middle East, they have traffic police. Yeah? Traffic police who stand at the intersection or stand at roundabouts, and there are cars coming or vehicles coming from all four directions. What is the purpose of the traffic police? It is to guide all of the vehicles, the cars, the bikes, the buses, the trucks. It is to guide them through the intersection so that they move smoothly. There is no disaster, there is no accident. Now, imagine, see in Australia, if when we approach the roundabout, what is the rule of the roundabout? You give way to the vehicle on your right hand side, yeah? So what if this traffic police is standing at the roundabout and instead of giving way to the vehicle on the right hand side, he gives way to the vehicle on the left hand side? What's going to happen? There's going to be an accident. There's a high probability that there will be a crash. There will be a disaster. But can you blame the drivers? You can't blame the drivers because the traffic police himself did not know the law. Or he made a mistake. So similarly, if the prophets and the imams make mistakes, if they are not infallible, if they are not ma'asum, how can you expect the ummah to reach excellence, to reach kamal? That is the philosophy behind the prophets and the imams being ma'asoom, being infallible, being flawless. They do not make mistakes. They do not commit guna. This is our aqidah. This is our faith. This is our iman. This is what we believe in. So we've established that it is wajib upon Allah to send guides to us, to guide us. And then we have established that these guides have to be perfect. These guides cannot make mistakes. They cannot have flaws. They are ma'asoom, they are infallible. Right? Now, amongst these ma'asoom, infallible, flawless prophets, there is one particular prophet who Allah calls his mahbub. Allah calls Al-Mustafa, the chosen one. He is not just a prophet, he is not just ma'asoom, he is the one who is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one who can get closer to Allah than him. He is the only one who has gone for mi'raj and seen Allah so close that the difference between himself and Allah was that of a hand in between, and that was all. He has seen the nur of Allah this close. He is so great that he's Qataman Nabiyyin, the final prophet, the seal of the messengers, after whom there is no need for another messenger. There is no need for another prophet. There is no need for another Shariat. There is no need for another book, another Qur'an. This is the greatness of our Prophet. To understand this a bit more, let's have a look at the ayah that I recited earlier. Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, ayah number 31, Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهَ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah says, قُلْ, O my Prophet, tell them, tell the people, say to the people, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ, if you love Allah, then what? فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me, follow the Prophet, do as I do, follow my Sunnah. Then what will happen? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهَ, Allah will love you back, and وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ, Allah will forgive your sins. Why? وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, Allah is the forgiving, Allah is the merciful. So let's break down this ayah and have a look at the different parts of the ayah. The first word, I want to concentrate on this. The first word, قُلْ, it is a very small word. And to the naked eye it seems very simple. قُلْ, say. قُلْ is an Arabic word which means say. What is Allah saying? Allah says, قُلْ, O my Prophet, O my beloved messenger, O Muhammad, say to them. What does this mean? Allah wants to send a message to us. The question here is, why doesn't He talk to us directly? Why does He use the medium of Muhammad? Why does He use Muhammad to communicate with us? We discussed this earlier. No one here can claim that Allah talks to him directly. Allah does not send us text messages or write on our Facebook walls, correct? So why does He use Prophet Muhammad? God forbid, don't think that Allah is dependent, Allah is muhtaj. No. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. We are all dependent upon Him. Allah is not dependent. The issue here is that our ears do not have the capability to hear His voice. Yes? He is on another level and we are on another level. He uses the help of Muhammad not because he is muhtaj or he is dependent, but because we are dependent. So the Quran is proving that He uses the help of Muhammad, He uses the aid of Muhammad, He uses the wasila of Muhammad. So how can we say that we talk to Allah directly and we do not need a wasila? Yes? Is it making sense so far? Please try loud salawat. Wasila is bid'at, it is shirk, it is fabrication, that is wrong, because the Quran proves that Allah has created this system of using the wasila to communicate with us. So when we go to the alam and we ask for our hajat, or when we go to the duljana, the horse, and we ask for our hajat, we are not doing bid'at, we are not doing shirk, we are not doing fabrication, we are not asking from a piece of cloth or from a horse, from an animal, we are asking from Allah through the wasila of Muhammad and the Ahlul Bayt of Muhammad. Making sense? You guys are with me so far? So we go back to the ayah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, O my Prophet, tell them. Tell who? Tell the Muslims. Tell people like you and I. What? If you love Allah, If you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what? فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me. Follow the Prophet. What's the word here? فَاتَّبِعُونِي. The word here is ittaba. What does ittaba mean? Ittaba means following exactly in the footsteps of the Prophet. Following the sunnah of the Prophet. I want to focus on this. Let me finish translating the ayah and then we'll come back and focus on this word ittaba. If we do the ittaba, what will happen? There will be two positive implications of this. Yuhibbukumullah, Allah will love you back. So think about this. We claim, in fact, all the Muslims all over the world claim that they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it not amazing? Would it not be amazing? Would it not be something completely different? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He loves us, Allah says this is possible. How? Sattabi'uni, follow the Prophet. Another point here I will quickly mention, that this means that when the ayah was revealed, there were people who claimed to love Allah, but in their hearts they did not love the Prophet, they did not do the ittaba of the Prophet. They had bugs in their heart for the Prophet. So, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me, what will happen? Two positive implications. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah will love you back. And the second, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, Allah will forgive your sins. Why? وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, Allah is غَفُور, He is forgiving and He is the merciful. So if you make mistakes, but this does not mean that you intentionally commit sins, you intentionally do guna, and then you say, no, Allah will forgive me, Allah will forgive me. No. If you make mistakes, we're all human beings, we make mistakes. Allah is willing to forgive our mistakes. It doesn't mean if you intentionally disrespect your parents, Allah will forgive you. You intentionally miss your prayers, your namaz, your salah, Allah will forgive you. You intentionally annoy the neighbors, Allah will forgive you. You intentionally break the law, Allah will forgive you. No, that's not the case. Don't have this misunderstanding that so many Muslims all over the world have. Do whatever you want, memorize the 99 names of Allah and you'll go to heaven. No, that's not how it works. We have to do فَاتَّبِعُونِي, we have to do the ittaba of the Prophet. We have to follow the sunnah of the Prophet. So, we've translated the ayah. I want to go back to the word ittaba now. What does ittaba mean? Following the sunnah of the Prophet. Yes? How can we follow the sunnah of the Prophet? Firstly, we need to study the life of the Prophet. We need to study his lifestyle, his personality, so that we can find out how he lived his life, so that we can follow in his footsteps. We need to ensure that our lives, our daily lives, our actions in our daily lives reflect the lifestyle and the personality of the Prophet. Let me give you a scenario. When you go out into the streets, when you go out into the shopping centers, into your schools, universities, your colleges, your workplaces, and when people find out that you're a Muslim, whether you know or you don't know, they will start to judge you. And they not only judge you from your actions, they judge Islam from your actions. They judge Allah from your actions. They judge Prophet Muhammad from your actions, from our actions. So God forbid, if I run a business and I'm dishonest, and my customer, my client finds out, he does not only curse me, he says, you know, if this follower of Muhammad is dishonest, then imagine how dishonest the leader Muhammad would be now. Imagine how dishonest his God would be. Imagine how bad his leader and his God will be. This is negativity that we are creating ourselves. Negative propaganda is occurring against Muslims. But it's not just the enemies of Islam that are doing it. We are helping them through our actions. We are doing things that we shouldn't be doing in society. We are creating havoc and chaos in society. And then people turn around and they judge us, they judge our religion, they judge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they judge our beloved Prophet. And then what happens? What is the outcome? They create cartoons about our Prophet, they create films, movies about our Prophet that are disrespectful, that are harming the honor and the dignity of our Prophet. So remember, we are representatives of Islam. We are representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. We are representatives of Prophet Muhammad on this earth. Please recite out to the one.